at verse 22. Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse 22, I'm reading a King James Version. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And called it Jehovah Shalom. Mm-hmm. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abazarites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing." Father, we bless you today. We thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For teaching and preaching time. We thank you for every listening ear. We thank you for every heart that is available today. And I ask for clear thoughts and clear understanding, that I would rightly divide your word, rightly apply your word, that it would find a place in our hearts. God, to continue to shape us and mold us and make us into what you would have us to be. These and all blessings we do ask in the name of Jesus. And let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for your attention. Amen. Thank God for the reading of these verses. And if you want to talk to you today from the subject, and once again the subject is in line with our emphasis upon the altar. As you notice there, the word altar was mentioned several times in that reading. But I want to use for a thought today, God, or the Lord, uses ordinary people.
Amen.
The Lord uses ordinary people. Ordinary meaning no special or distinctive features. In other words, what we would call norm. God can use you. God will use you. Amen. When we will order our steps according to his word. Amen. One of the features, if you will, that is needed is obedience.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Obedience plays a large role in God using us.
Yes.
Obedience. And that certainly is not something that is popular in our time. Amen. Our world is filled to overflowing with rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, disobedience.
Amen.
Everybody wants to set their own rules.
Yes.
Amen. You know, just a quick reflection, and I remember years ago when the afros came out, and some of the pastors and churches didn't want the young men to grow afros. Some afros, man, it had its own out there. And so some of us begin to ask the question, how long is long? You know, when they say, y'all not have that long hair. You know, we young people, teenagers, young men, very sarcastic. See, you know, we ain't been preachers and deacons all our lives. We've been in that rebellious mode also. So we would ask under our breath. We weren't standing up to them asking them how long is long. We was asking each other. He said, cut it, how long is long? But we didn't ask them. But I'm just saying that's an example of trying to get things to suit you. And I can remember things like that. So I'm sure that there are things today, amen, that people want to change around in order to satisfy or please their flesh. But the Lord has a way.
Yeah.
Amen. And his way is the right way.
Amen.
Jesus said that no man gets to the Father but through him, through Jesus. So we can say any number of other ways, but Jesus has said, no, nobody gets to the Father except they come through me. Amen. Now, I want you to understand as I move here that if there is not an intentional effort and desire to worship and serve the Lord, you will slip into idolatry. Idolatry is simply the worship of idols. And if you notice, I used the words there at the beginning, there must be intentional efforts. Amen. You're not going to drift into heaven.
Amen.
You're not going to drift into heaven. But you may drift into hell.
Oh, man.
That's why I say your desires and, amen, to worship the Lord must be intentional. In other words, you must intend to. Glory to God. When we come to the house of God, we must come with the intentions of praising God.
Yes.
It must be our intentions, not waiting on a particular song or a particular this or that, but we must come with the intention.
Yes.
David said in one of his songs, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Yes.
He said, I was just glad when they said, let's go in the house. That made me glad. Glory to God. How many of us, you know, and don't raise your hand, don't look around, but how many of us can honestly say that I was glad when Sunday came so I could go to church? Huh? I better be glad on Wednesday when you get up. Oh man, I'll be glad when this day is done, because Bible class is tonight and I can go to church. Just a little food for thought. Amen. But our intentions, people of God, and our efforts to worship the Lord, amen, have to come from our heart. Now, I want us to look at this chapter as we look here. This chapter begins with a very familiar scenario of the people of God. If your Bible is still open, just look at verses, maybe just one and two. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. This behavior was a back and forth behavior of the people of God down through the time. Amen. They would get into a situation that was beyond their control. They would cry out. God would send a deliverer. They would do all right for a little while. Then they would drift. Here we go. They would drift back into idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
Because the things of the idols seem more impressive, seem more influential than just serving God. And their affection would begin to lean toward these idols. And so after a while, after a number of years, they have drifted back into idolatry. So we have right here, this is what it means when it says the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. It simply means that they quit worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
They begin to adapt and adhere to the worship practices of the of the idols, those that worship idols. And so when they did that, it said the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian. What that simply means that God stepped back. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that God picked them up and took them over to Midian and says, here they are. Amen. But it simply means that God stepped back. He said, all right, you don't worship me. You don't have my protection. You don't have my blessings. You don't worship me. Now you're out there. See how you make it. And so we read here that it was for 7 years. 7 years is a long time.
Amen.
And if you read on down in this chapter, connecting it with where we started, for 7 years, they would plant their crops. The people of God would plant their crops. And when it was time to harvest, the Midianites and the Amalekites, these people would come in and take their harvest.
That's right.
They didn't have no protection. God said, hey, you doing it without me? Go ahead.
All right.
For 7 years. So the Bible said they got to the point they were making their homes in caves and they were hiding from the Midianites because the Midianites were coming in and destroying, taking all of their crop and destroying what was left for 7 years. Can you imagine that? For 7 years, you're going to get hungry. When all you have left is what the enemy have trampled over and you're able to harvest from what has been trampled over. And you go out next year and plant it again, and because you have still failed to call on God, amen, God stepped back.
Yeah.
The enemy comes in and takes over. This is symbolic of somebody's life here today.
That's right.
That's amen. God wants to come in your life, but you keep pushing him out. So God said, you push me out, you're on your own. And when you're on your own, the devil keep beating you across the head.
Amen.
Huh? Yes. That is what is happening. So for 7 years. Amen. And so after 7 years, they got to the point that they just couldn't take it anymore. And the Bible said they began to cry unto God. Here we go again. I want you to see in this passage, amen, the mercy of God. First, we saw at the beginning, we see the wrath of God or the discipline of God. God said, you don't worship me, then the enemy have access to you. But after a while, God's mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Can somebody say, thank you, God, for your mercy?
Thank you, God. Thank you. Your grace.
After a while, his mercy keeps in because they're crying to it. And how many of us as parents, glory to God, we have disciplined our children, and we've gone through the disciplinary procedure, but, 2 days from now, when they want something, and, they start kind of crying to us, it kind of, melts us a little bit. Oh, they cry, come on, Daddy, please. So here is a position that the children of Israel had gotten themselves into because they continued to turn their back on the Lord. After 7 years, their crops being taken and ruined for 7 years, they begin to cry out to God. And amen, when you cry to God and when it comes from your heart, see, it took 7 years for a heartfelt cry.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. It took 7 years. Now somebody have passed on.
Amen.
In that 7 year span, somebody, they buried somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But some were left to endure this hardship.
Amen.
We go out and plant our crops so they come up and get to looking good. Here come the Midianites and the Amalekites. It's ours. Now, that can be discouraging.
Yeah. Yeah.
But after 7 years, they begin to cry unto God. And God says, all right, all right, all right. I heard you cry. But if you read down through there, God kind of scolds them a little bit. God says, look, you remember? It was me that came down in Egypt and brought y'all out.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all were down there. Y'all had it hard down there. I brought y'all out. I told y'all to obey me, but y'all wouldn't hear me. You know, if you read the in between to where we picked up at today. God says, it was me. I brought you out of Egypt. I established you. I told you to obey my voice, but you didn't. Now, this is the consequences of it. Amen. And so the Lord, he has this man that he's going to call on. You see, and the man's name is Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gideon is just like many of us. And that's why I chose the subject today, that God can use or will use ordinary people. Now, when the Lord gets ready to use you, your assessment of yourself does not matter.
Amen. Amen. Come on, preacher.
Can I say that again?
Amen.
You see, because this is what happened to Gideon. When the Lord sent the angel, you know, to talk to Gideon, Gideon began to talk about how poor he was. Well, let's look at verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 and 16 of Judges 6. Gideon was chosen, but this is the assessment that he gave of himself. He says, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. And I am the least in my family. This does not look like the qualifications for a leader.
Mm-hmm. Man.
He said, my family is poor. Mm-hmm. I'm the least in my family. Let me see the hand of everybody here that's the baby in your family. The baby girl or baby boy. Huh? Now, some of you young people may not remember this, but some of the ones that got a little age on them, they know about hand-me-downs.
Mm-hmm.
They know about wearing what their big brother wore, what their big sister wore. Huh? Mama wash it, put it up real good, save it till you grow that size.
Right.
Huh?
That's,
that's the way. That's the way it was.
That's right.
I mean, we didn't have a whole lot of money to keep on buying new stuff, you know, like we do now. So when the older one grew out of it, if they had tore it up, sometimes there were patches on it.
Mm-hmm.
They so fast.
Me and Brother Theodore was talking here not too long ago. Sometimes we had clothes, the patches were patched. Anybody know about that?
Yeah.
It says a few hands. Yeah. Yeah. You patch the patches. And they're getting all they can get out of these garments.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of the way where Gideon was. Gideon said, my family is poor and I'm the least in my family. I have no influence. But how many know God uses ordinary people?
Yes.
How many remember when the prophet went down to anoint the king? Jesse's boys. The Lord told him the king was among Jesse's boys. And Jesse called seven of his sons. Didn't call the little shepherd boy, left him out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Called all the other big boys, called the big brothers. All of them passed by. Samuel took his oil out, getting ready to anoint the Lord. And all that's not him. And all of them went by. He said, well who is it? Then he asked Jesse, you got any more children? He said, well, I got my youngest boy. Right now, he's over yonder across the hill to keep the sheep.
Yes, that's right.
He said, go get it.
Yes.
And when he showed up, the Lord told The prophet said, that's the one, anoint him.
Yeah.
Glory to God. God uses ordinary people.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So Gideon's assessment of himself did not matter. Amen. The Lord, glory to God, sent an angel to have a conversation with him. Amen. And this is where we pick it up at in verse 22. After this conversation with an angel, amen, Gideon goes off again because he thinks he's going to die. Uh-huh. I've seen an angel face to face. And this is what they thought was the consequences of seeing an angel. Yeah. You won't die. You know, we got some superstitions too. We got some. How many of you were very cautious this last past Friday? Friday the 13th. We're walking around. We're dependent on the blessings of God. We're superstitious, man. Right? Walking under no ladder. I'm going to go back to the cross. I'm going to break no mirrors. My goodness.
Come on, preacher.
Glory to God. We have to put ourselves in the hand of God.
Yeah.
Gideon saw the angel and he knew that this is it. I'm going to die. But the Lord says, you will not die. You will not die. But I want you to do something, Gideon. I want you to build an altar.
Yeah.
He's getting ready to position Gideon for a work. Because now while he's dealing with Gideon, amen, the people of Israel, the rest of the people of Israel are still in misery. They are still being harassed by the Midianites and the Amalekites. And so the Lord talks to Gideon and says, build an altar unto the Lord and call it Jehovah Shalom.
Yeah.
God is peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't it good to think about peace when you've had 7 years of turmoil?
Yeah.
My God. Thank you, Jesus. Gideon says, I'm going to name it Jehovah Shalom. Because God is going to render unto us peace. After these 7 years, amen, of being, as I said, harassed by the Midianites and the Amalekites, God is going to bring peace. But there's something that has to take place. Amen. The Lord said, I want you to build an altar unto me, but there's some tearing down that you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Now, this tearing down goes against the grain for a lot of us because he said he had to tear down the altar that his fathers had built.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us, we don't want to go against what our fathers and our mothers have put in place. We don't want to go against that. We won't change that for nothing. We won't change that for Jesus, God, Abraham. None of them. Call my father, my mother. Huh? Y'all looking at me strange, but y'all don't get the truth. He told Gideon, tear down those altars that your fathers worship Baal.
Mm-hmm.
Because Baal was an idol god.
Yeah.
Now listen.
Come on, preacher.
You have to understand if you're going to worship God.
Well.
You got to get the false and the idols out of your life.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Glory be to God. It ain't room for two. I read somewhere where the Lord said, I'm a jealous God.
Yeah.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Scripture. That's right. Amen.
Oh, it might sound a little arrogant for us, but who are we to tell God he's arrogant?
Come on now.
Huh?
Wow.
Nobody. We ain't that wrong yet. And never will be. God says, I am God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So Gideon, glory to God, God is getting ready to use him. God has a battle plan for him to put in motion, amen, to save the people of God. But he got to get Gideon on the right track first. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is why, people of God, that pastors and leaders and ministers and fathers in the home, we have to get on the right track first.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, I said fathers in the home because the father, according to scripture, is the priest of your home. You're supposed to be leading your family to Christ.
Amen.
You take them to the ball game. Yeah, you take them to the ball game. You take them to the beach. Do you bring them to the church?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, don't get me
right. Amen.
I didn't mean to go like that. But if we're going to be the leaders and effective leaders, I'm talking about effective leaders, to raise up men and women, boys and girls, that will be worshipers of God, that will be missionaries, as we were talking about in Sunday school, be missionaries for God. It's got to start in the home.
Yeah. Amen.
We got to turn down the idols in the home. So he told Gideon, look, you got to tear down those altars now to Baal that your father had. I know you might feel like you owe some allegiance to your father, but he was worshiping an idol. So tear it down. Glory to God. And Gideon, amen, he was a little perplexed because he had a little fear about him. And as I was putting this message together, that let me know that God can use ordinary people. He can use people that are fearful.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. He can use people that are doubtful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. See, God is already familiar with that kind of behavior. Are y'all listening to me today?
Amen.
I'm trying to help somebody because somebody want to do some things for God and they say, I'm afraid. God is already used to people being afraid.
Amen.
You're
Amen.
Not the first one to be afraid to step out and let God use you. He's used to that behavior, but he, glory to God, can raise you up above that kind of behavior.
Amen.
My God. Thank you, Jesus. The word said, amen, he tells Gideon, look, you got to turn down those altars where your father had. Because you got a battle on your hand. You got a battle that I'm going to lead you in. You got a battle that I'm going to give you the plan to overcome. But first, you got a battle with Baal.
Yeah.
You got to let, amen, everybody know that there is only one God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. So the Bible says, because of his fear, because of his apprehension, amen, because of what people might say and do, he did it at night.
Mm.
You know, sometimes it comes down to the point that whatever way you got to do it, you got to do it.
Amen.
If you got to slip at night, Nicodemus went to the Lord by night because he was a very popular and influential man. So he didn't want to be seen going to him, you know, in the daytime. So the Bible said he went to the Lord by night.
Yeah.
How can a man be born again when he is old?
Come on, come on.
The Lord said, you a ruler? You a teacher? And you don't know that? Oh my God, God, come down on Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, how can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? The Lord had to bring it out to him. But my point is that he wanted to know so bad that he went by night. And Gideon, amen, he was moved by God to carry out the plan of God. And so there was some fear there. I don't know what daddy might say. I don't know what daddy's friend, what his buddies might say. All those older guys. I don't know what they might say. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go at night.
Yeah.
When it get dark. And I'm going to turn down these altars of Baal because I believe God is moving in my life. And And I believe he's got a call on my life to do something. And he had told me to turn down the altars of Baal.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Somebody here today got an altar that you need to tear down.
Yeah.
Well, somebody got the altar of popularity.
Come on,
Jesus. You don't want to tear it down because you popular. You don't want to be seen down here in Fairview clapping your hands and running around. Your people from your job come here and you acting like that, man. You might get a demotion when you go in Monday. They may move you out your cubicle and put you back somewhere else. Or your popularity, your status. You got an altar of status. Glory to God. When I am in the community, when I pull up at the service station, everybody stop. When I pull up at the restaurant, they come open the door for me. But if I start clapping and speaking in tongue and shouting hallelujah, they may even close the door when I come. I'm worried about how people are looking at me. You got to tear that down.
Tear it down. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to tear it down. Thank you, Jesus. There's that altar of money.
Come on, preacher.
Oh, my God. Huh? We got that altar of money where we hold on to that stuff. Because I don't think they need all that money down at that church anyway. Is that what the Bible said? If you think they don't need it all, don't give. I haven't read that yet. Now, can I sing that today as well? Uh-huh. Well, the Bible didn't say if they don't need it, don't give it. But the Bible did say, bring ye all tithes into the storehouse.
Yes.
There may be meat in my house.
Amen.
God even issues you a challenge. He said, prove me.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to help somebody.
That's right.
God said, bring your tithes and offering in and prove me. Put me to the test. See if I won't pour you out a blessing.
Amen.
I don't know that we go sack of money. Amen. Come on, let me make it clear, because every time we take money, but God said he's talking about money when he's talking about your tithes and offering. But when he's talking about blessing, it's a bigger sphere.
Yeah.
Amen.
Money.
Yeah.
Glory to God. But some of us, I've got an altar of money. Man, we can't praise God for thinking about our money. Huh? Counting our money. Looking at our bank book. Checking our checkbook. Looking at our money. Looking at other folk money. Huh? Don't you know the Bible said the love of money? The love of it, not money, the love of it is the root. When you love money, you begin to do all kinds of things. In terms of manipulation, scheming, glory to God. But if you're going to be used by the Lord, thank you, Jesus, you don't need a lot of money.
Amen.
To be used by God. Huh? You got to turn out that altar of money. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting ready to move on just a little bit here, but God uses ordinary people.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of your street that you live on, and I don't know the road number that you live on, but it don't have to be Main Street. Mm-hmm. Y'all hearing me today?
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to live on Main Street for the Lord to use you. Glory be to God. You don't have to have the biggest house on Main Street for the Lord to use you. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to have a 3-car garage in the biggest house on Main Street for the Lord to use you.
Come on, preacher.
He uses ordinary people.
Amen.
He uses people that will obey his word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. When he spoke to Gideon and told him to tear down the altars of Baal, Gideon was a little apprehensive about it. He was a little fearful about it, but he made a way to get it done.
Yeah. Amen.
If I gotta go by night, I will tear it down.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to God. We read to you there, amen, what happened the next day. They rose up and they saw that Baal's altar was torn down. Man, they asking all over the city, who did this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who did this? And you read the rest of the story. Yeah. Man, they wanted to hurt Gideon. Yeah. But Gideon's father spoke up and said, look, they call on Baal. If he's your God, let him defend you. Don't be messing with my boy. Call on Baal. If he's a God, let him fight for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But God uses ordinary people.
Amen.
Now we have a fight on our hand. Glory to God. As people of God. Amen. Sometimes we're doing what the Lord would have us to do, and God is blessing and opening up doors. Yes, yes. But if we don't remain intentional in our efforts, then we drift back to idolatry. Yes, don't you know that you're constantly moving one way or the other? Yes. You're never still. You're moving toward God or you're moving from Him. But the writer tells us, amen, that, you know, we have this battle that we are fighting. But over in the book of Corinthians, it tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, I shared this some time ago. The battles that we read about in Scripture were fought with chariots and horses and spears and of this sort.
Mm-hmm.
But today, our battles are spiritual battles.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Paul even said to the Ephesians, you're not fighting against flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he wrote to the Corinthians, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're not natural. They're not knives and guns and pistols and cannons and these type things. They're not carnal. But here's what Paul said. He said, they are mighty.
Amen.
Oh my God. Let me find that because some of y'all might want to read that.
Yeah.
He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Glory be to God. He said the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty weapons. In other words, they are weapons that can get the job done. What are you talking about, Paul? Well, the weapon that I believe Paul is talking about is prayer and fasting and meditating on the Word of God, coming together as a body of believers. When we incorporate all of these things, we have a mighty weapon. We have a mighty force, amen, to stand against the enemy.
Yes, yes.
Come on, preacher.
Paul says, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Look what verse 5 says. Casting down. There you go. That's how you're going to tear down those idol altars.
Yeah.
Huh? With the weapons of prayer. My God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. With the weapon of fasting, you tear down those idol gods. Thank you, Jesus. I told you the other week about that chapter in the book by Jensen Franklin calling Dethrone King Stone. Sometimes you got to dethrone your stomach. You got to get, amen, your stomach out the way because it's leading you around. You're hungry all the time. You ain't got time to think about the Lord because you're hungry. I shared with them on Wednesday night when Esther got in that trouble that she was in and she knew she had to go to the king. Esther said, look, I'm going to fast with my maids 3 days and 3 nights. Mordecai, you get the rest of the people to fast 3 days, 3 nights. Don't eat nothing day nor night for 3 days. Man, we can't go 12 hours. Because King's stomach is in charge. Glory to God. We got to dethrone him. We got to get him out of the way. Hallelujah. How you going to, my God, how you going to get him out of the way? Prayer.
Thank you,
Jesus. Man. Practice. That's why I've been asking us to fast. Sometimes you just got to practice. You got to kind of ease into it.
Yes.
You know, I'm kind of prepping us for the first of the year because, you know, the first of the year we go 12 days. The first 12 days of January is a part of our fasting and maturity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Glory be to God. But Paul says here to the Corinthians, and I'm soon finished, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty weapons. They are powerful weapons. Prayer, fasting, reading God's word, meditating on God's word, amen, is powerful weapons. When you meditate on the word of God, it simply means to murmur it over in your mind,
or
with your lips, or under your breath.
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. That's a form of meditation. Just saying it over. You read it, you put your Bible up, and now you're going about your activities. You're doing different things. Cleaning your house, you're on your job, in the grocery store. The Lord is my shepherd. the Spirit. That when I need something, I just talk to the shepherd. He told me I wouldn't have it at once. So he is my shepherd. We become confident that somehow this thing that I'm going through don't feel good. But somehow it's going to work out. I don't know. But I also read where it says all things work together
for the good
of you. You meditate. Because you're ready. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I love it. I love the Lord. I believe I was called for the purpose that he had for me. So however this trouble is working, my God, is working in the equation of what God wants to do. I don't know. I will be honest and say, I don't know. I'm confused. But I believe God's word. Can somebody say, I believe God's word?
I believe God's word.
I believe God's word. I don't know how it's confusing. Sometimes it's disturbing. Sometimes it's discouraging. But I know I love the Lord, and he told me that all things is working for my good. Now let me say this again. It says, those that love the Lord. How do you know when you love the Lord? When you walk in his way. Not just simply by saying. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself.
Yes, Lord.
Take up his cross daily.
Yes,
and follow me. Imitate me. You going to be my disciple? Jesus said, take up your cross, deny yourself daily, and follow him. Not just follow him on Sunday.
Yes. Come on now.
Glory to God. Not just follow him on a Wednesday. But Jesus said, daily. Listen, God can and will use ordinary people. Gideon was an ordinary man. But if you read that story, amen, the rest of, I think, chapter 6, 7, and maybe a portion of chapter 8, it talks about the accomplishments of Gideon. But let's look, closing here, at the last of 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, because we're talking about the weapons of our warfare. They're mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, those things in your life that's controlling you in a negative way. That's a stronghold. Glory to God. Got you going places that you know you shouldn't go. That's a stronghold. When you say, I just can't help myself. You are exactly right. You can't. But Jesus can.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus can help me.
Amen.
It says, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Nobody, nowhere knows more than God. Nobody, nowhere. No preacher, no priest. I don't care what your title is. Nobody knows more than God. And this scripture says that it will bring down every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought, my God, to the obedience of God. Every thought. How many of us have some very bad thoughts? Sometimes we act on them. Glory to God. The old saying, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head. But you don't have to let it make a mess. Are you hearing me today? You can't stop the bird from flying over. But when he get ready to stop and make a nest, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Hit it. What are you going to do? You ain't going to pat and go.
Get out of my head.
Can't stop him from flying over, but when he gets ready to make that nest, knock him out. But no, you ain't stopping him. Nobody. Glory to God. Listen, will you stand with me today? I want to encourage somebody because I come here week after week and I see people that want to be used by God.
That's
and
right.
They think maybe I got to have this certain quality. I got to have this certain quality. I got to dress this way.
Listen,
I got to dress that way. Amen. All of that is second, third, fourth, fifth, on down the line.
That's right.
Obedience. Obedience is the main quality to be used by God.
Amen.
Amen. Gideon was even hiding, threshing the wheat. Huh? Because he knew the Midianites were coming down and get it, so he went somewhere in the wine press, threshing the wheat, trying to stay out of sight of them so they won't get this. God knew all about that. God knew he was fearful. God knew all the apprehensions he had. But still, God says, look, I'm going to use you, and you're going to defeat the Midianites like they were just one man. God said, you're going to have so much power, so much authority that when you go up against that enemy, I don't care how many thousands it is, you're going to take them out just like it might have been one. God have that same, amen, power and authority, my God, to be unleashed in your life. If you are a willing vessel. Thank you, Jesus. I could go on and on, but I know we got to go.